Yo, 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 what's goody? It's Bear in the building. Thank you guys for tuning in on another episode of Queen Talk. Today's special guest is Saray Lestar Yemeya. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. As you heard, I am Saray, a.k.a. Lestar Yemeya. I am 20 years old. I am Black, African-American. My pronouns are she, they. And I identify as a trans woman in the LGBT community.
All right. And where are you from? Are you from Wichita? Or?
So, originally, I am from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
You know, I traveled because my family is originally from Little Rock, Arkansas. So, we went back and forth up until I was about four, a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And then we moved to Wichita, Kansas. Here, of course. When I was five.
Okay, so you were pretty much raised in Wichita.
Yes, indeed. So, I started school here, yes.
Where was your middle school and high school at, like, in Wichita?
So, middle school, I went to Pleasant Valley Middle School.
Okay.
That's, like, out west. And I went to North High School.
Okay, yeah. So, all right, North. We've had a North High on here as well.
Yes, indeed.
So what years did you graduate then? What year did you graduate?
So I did go and attend all 4 years, and okay. I graduated in 2021.
2021. Okay. Yes. So like COVID and all that situation was.
My.
Yeah.
That was something. Okay. So.
That was your last 2 years of school.
Yes, it was. So.
Dang, I'm sorry you had that experience, because I was like thinking about like the students that had to go through that. Like, what was that like for you?
So, honestly, it was a lot of mixed feelings, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. For one, this did happen when it was in my junior year of high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were getting ready to, we had just came back from winter break, and then we were getting ready to go on spring break, actually. Uh-huh. And our teachers, I guess they had been watching the news, and they were like, hey, you guys might not be coming back to school if this virus spreads and things like that. And we did not believe them, because typically, you know, when something like that comes about in the news, it doesn't happen.
Right.
So, you know, we didn't think nothing about it. 2 weeks later, we're at a school, and we thought that we had just had an extended break. Little did I know, little did we all know,
yeah.
We were at a school for the rest of that year.
Yeah. And the following year, right?
That is true. Now, I tell this as well. Me and my aunt, that same spring break of 2020, we had planned to go to Thailand.
Aww.
Yep. And we had to stop in China for, you know, a layover. And then we had to go on our final destination. But we could not go. So she ended up traveling somewhere else. And I ended up staying. So that sucked.
Yeah. So like, what was that like for your graduating class? Like, you guys just did a Zoom graduation, or did you guys even have a graduation?
Oh, we did have a graduation. We were lucky. So the previous year, they were testing out different methods on graduating, but with ours, we just had a limited, you know, people that we could bring. We could only invite 10 people.
Mm.
That was very hard,
yeah.
Let me say. So. It was interesting, but we did have an in-person graduation.
Okay, nice. Well, at least you got that portion, but I feel
right.
Like you didn't get that full senior experience.
That is correct. We also did have a prom.
Oh, you did?
We did. We did. They were heavily debating not.
Yes. Well, so you got that. So I have to ask, like, you said you're a transgender woman. Did you identify like this while you were in high school as well, or?
So, when I was in high school, I did not, you know what I'm saying? Actually, I really put that part of me away, if that makes sense, just because, A, I wasn't necessarily in the space to, you know, fully embrace it,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, B, you know, I didn't know fully, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I was out as gay, but I was very, very feminine. I wore makeup every day, you know, everybody, you know, things like that. So.
Okay. So you did like tap into that side a little bit. So for
I
your
did.
Prom, it was just.
Baby. for my prom. Oh, I really wanted to show out because you only get that one time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I heavily encourage all the kids to go and, you know, go and go to their prom. But I went in full drag. I made my look. It was a leotard. It was white mesh with some sequins and some rhinestones. And, you know, I had this blonde hair that I styled up. I did my makeup. And pleaser platforms that were that tall. And I went to my prom. And I had this long cape. We had a photo shoot before.
Uh-huh.
And we went and I stunted. Let me tell you, I stunted.
Oh, I don't. Yes, the first time. That was like the first time you had done that, or?
Well, not exactly.
Okay.
So it was really my first time being fully like feminine, you know. Because then I had even like, I know this is PG-13, but I had even tucked, you know what I'm saying? That was my first time really experiencing that.
Okay.
So it was, once I had done it, I knew I was like, I like this, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
The response was just so great. I was shocked. It was some I was completely not used to.
So your family embraced that? Like they were?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. So.
Okay.
Well, let me, I'm going to say it like this. So, in the beginning, because I come from a very Southern religious family, you know, they're non-denominational Christian, but I've went through different faith journeys throughout my life, you know what I'm saying? But it was heavily Christian, no matter what, you know what I'm saying? And it was not normal to them, so it was something that they were very, you know, indifferent about, you know what I mean? And growing up, when I did try and, like, so not so much as dress feminine, but even, like, you know, I would talk to boys sometimes, you know, I almost got sent off several times to, like, live with other people so I would be tougher. So, not really.
Okay. Okay, then let's bring this, like, you brought this up, so let's talk about this for a minute.
Oh, yeah,
so,
there's some layers.
Ugh, yeah, let's dig into it.
Let's get to it.
So you said that your family sent you, like, that's what they tried to get tougher. So what age were you experiencing your family's back, not your family's resistance towards you and who you are as a person?
Well, I'm going to be honest now. I was always very feminine. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would say up to, my memory would go back to about maybe 5, you know, maybe when I moved down, you know, and I had started school and I was really able to understand who I was and fully, you know, see, you know, it's okay. There's a life outside the hood. You know what I'm saying? So it started out with, like, you know, the cousins who were, like, my age a lot of the time, you know what I mean? And then it, you know, went from, like, them to the adults, you know, who would make comments about things that I would do. And then a lot of the time they would go back and tell my mom and stuff, you know, my business became everybody's, low-key. So it started a while, and then it sort of kept happening, and then, you know, once like got older and was able to make my own decisions and was choosing to not, you know, be around it, then it sort of changed just a little bit.
At what age did you distance yourself? And what do you mean by, like, what did you do?
So, my younger sister and I, we used to go down every summer, every year, up until I was about, I would say 16. And that's when I decided not to. I decided to work. And then, you know, we had came to, you know, visit for a shorter amount of time. And it was better just because I had somebody else there, you know what I'm saying? But still, I didn't stay the whole time.
Stay where? Like
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. So you would go. Okay. So you would go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you would visit them. And that's when you had a job, so that's when you didn't go to visit. Is that what you're saying?
Yes,
okay.
Indeed. Yes,
I see. So, all right, I got you now.
Yeah.
All right. So, when you would do that, like, what was your mother's reaction towards that? Like, what did you do? Like, you said you wore, did you wear, like, more feminine clothes? And that's, like, your mother was, like, you need to be tougher. Like, what age were you when your mother was, like, trying to make you tougher?
I was in about, I would say, late elementary, early middle school when it started, really.
Mm-hmm. And what were you doing to make her think that you weren't tough enough as a boy?
No, I really, I felt like it was because I didn't play sports, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She did try and put me in baseball for a year, but I hated it. Oh, I hated it. But, so, pretty much, she tried to put me in sports. I didn't play sports. I wasn't roguish like the other boys in the neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? And oftentimes, what would confuse me is she would praise me for not being like that. But at the same time, she also is the same person who was like, you know, if you brought home a baby at 16, I wouldn't be mad at you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it started in, like, middle school, and then as I got older and, you know, hit puberty, you know, she sort of expected me to evolve with everybody else who was around me.
Okay. So when you stayed back, you said in 16, and you stayed back, what was that transition for you of you distancing yourself from?
Well, for one, it was very liberating just because, you know, for once I felt like I could, you know, make a decision for myself, you know what I'm saying? And also really be able to focus and know that there's, you know, life and things to do outside of, you know, going there and, you know, enduring, you know, what I, you know, did, you know what I'm saying? Or possibly being uncomfortable.
What types of things did you do when you distanced yourself from, like, what were you able to do, like, when you were finally yourself?
Uh-huh. So at that time, I was in those were my Catholic days when I was staying back and I was, like, doing more within the town, you know what I'm saying? And that's another, you know, binder of things to go through.
Okay.
Yes. So I would, you know, go to, like, Catholic retreats and things, you know, go to church, things like that. Of course, I did have a job. You know, I definitely would dress how I wanted as well.
Okay. So it's interesting. So you when you stayed back, you got closer to your faith. Mm-hmm. And were you also open about, like, being feminine and things of that nature too?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Now, I had a lot more freedom when I was at home, you know what I'm saying? Though there were still things that, you know, me and my mom did disagree on, you know what I'm saying? But as far as, you know, what I could do, what I could wear, you know what I'm saying? Those rules were a lot looser than what they were in, like, Tulsa, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. So in Tulsa, what was that family? So in Tulsa, who were you staying with, like, in Tulsa? Like, was your mom here in Wichita and your...
Yep.
Okay, so, your mom was in Wichita.
Yep, she would get a little break, and then we would go down to, like, you know, typically me and my sister would stay with, like, a grandparent, my grandma, and aunties.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Cousins, aunties, you know what I'm saying? People like them.
Okay. And so when you would stay with your mom, you felt like you got more freedom than when you went to Oklahoma, or you felt like you...
To an extent.
Okay.
To an extent.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, my people in Oklahoma, they didn't even smoke or anything. You know what I'm saying? They might, you know, have a drink here and there, but that's about it. You know, but they were the churchgoers. You know what I'm talking about? So my mom, she didn't really do all that, you know what I'm saying? She was more loose, you know, she smoked, you know what I'm saying, all that. You know, she drank, you know. She was very open with us, you know what I'm saying? So that's where that sort of was different, but she was still from there, you know what I mean? So she had that mentality.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk more about your transition into being, like, a transgender woman. Like,
okay,
when you were like, okay, this is who I am and this is how I identify, like, How did you get to that process?
Okay, so this was actually on like the tail end of me leaving the Catholic Church. So I was 18, you know what I mean? Once, you know, I had gotten out of the house, I had graduated and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always knew, and it was a thought that I had fought for a long time, you know. And it was very emotional, I'm not going to lie, just because, you know, the negative stigma that had been embedded in my mind, you know, growing up, you know, behind transness, you know what I mean? And it was a lot. So I was 18 and I was really thinking, and I, you know, I was like, I don't really feel masculine. And nothing that I did, you know, that I didn't look very masculine either. And it was always something in me. And I really had to come to terms with a lot of things, like a lot of childhood trauma, you know, and really, really think and choose my happiness. So that's ultimately where that started. And then it was a delay, you know, to get started, you know what I'm saying? And it was something. All that, it was interesting. If I could, like, produce a movie about it, that would be something. But, yeah.
What do you mean there was a delay? Like, 18 is when you, like, came out, and did you just say, like, I'm transgender woman? Like, did you... And before that, did you identify as gay, or was there layers to it? Like, did you work yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And like, so where did it start? Did you like come out as gay, bisexual? Like, what's your coming out story?
Yeah. So honestly, my coming out story, it has so many layers because mm-hmm. of, you know, the family that I have, you know, first it was bi. You know what I mean? And that was very, very, that was way younger. Like, I want to say, I was about maybe 12. You know what I'm saying? And then it was gay. You know what I'm saying? It sort of just, like, reeled in. You know what I mean? It's different for everybody. But it was sort of to, like, lead, you know, into something. Because if it was more extreme, then the consequence might be more extreme. So I came out as gay when I was in about, I want to say I was a sophomore, and then I fully accepted my transness, you know what I mean? Like, in, you know, while I was a sophomore, that was when I started to dress more feminine, you know, and I would actually sneak and wear the makeup to school and take it off when I got on the bus, you know, before I got home. Forgot a few times, but yeah, it was interesting. But after that, you know, after me leaving the church, you know, then coming out as trans when I was 18, you know what I'm saying? And then finally getting on the hormones, that more so, the physical part of my transition was more so the delay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to put a pin in that. I want to get back to the hormone situation.
Yes.
But first, I want, like, when you forgot to, like, take off your makeup, what was that? Because obviously that was probably one of the first times your family had seen you in makeup is when you forgot, or?
More makeup than what I would typically wear, yes.
And so how were they receptive towards you when just with the makeup? Like, did they accept, like, the makeup? Were they like, okay?
It was very weird. It was kind of like, if I wore more masculine makeup, like say I filled in my brows, you know, maybe have on a little bit of eyeliner, you know, little things like that. If it's very subtle and barely noticeable, you know what I'm saying? Then it was fine. But the more extreme that it was, like eyeshadows and base, you know what I'm saying, and things like that, then it was more frowned upon.
Mm. And what were those reactions towards you, like when they Ooh. Seen you?
Now, the time I'm talking about in particular when I forgot, I was getting off the bus and my aunt was living with us at the time from Tulsa. She was, her and I were cool, you know what I'm saying? We're still cool, you know? And I walked back, you know, to greet her. You know, I would usually come home every day, greet her. They were home. And I didn't realize that I still had my makeup on. And she looked at me. And then when the look, I was like, yep, I done effed up A.A. Ron. And I forgot to take off my eyeshadow. I remember it was gold eyeshadow. I was stunting. But yeah, so she was very not happy. She kind of cussed me out. Oh, it was horrible.
Dang.
And she didn't do what I know she didn't do as much as she wanted just because my aunt was present, you know. But once I did leave the room, you know, I felt pretty bad. And I could hear her, you know, discussing with my aunt because my aunt also had a son. And she was like, what would you do if your kid did that? You know what I'm saying? And it was kind of turned into one of those things.
So your mom was in the room and your aunt, is that what you're saying? Or both aunts were in the room?
Oh, my mom and my aunt.
Okay, so then they started discussing it and saying, like, what?
Yeah, but my mom was more so instigating it to sort of get somebody to agree. Like, okay. If my son was wearing makeup, I'd be pissed off too, type, you know what I mean? Something like that.
Got you. Got you. So do you feel like, what's it like with your relationship with your mom now? Like, has she fully accepted you, or has she got there yet, or?
Well, we don't talk.
Okay.
We had an interesting exchange of words last time we saw each other, so we do not communicate.
Okay.
But, you know, there were, sorry, it's a heavy topic.
Yeah.
But, like, there were, you know, times where, you know, we would be around each other because our issues mainly stemmed, you know, toward the end of me living with her. So, you know, there were times where we'd be around each other and I would be cordial, you know, and there even came a time where I came and I wanted to talk things out a little bit, but that was also the time where we last spoke. So it was just kind of like a one-person effort, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'm sorry that your experience with your mother. Do you have other family members that you're able, like, accept you for being who you are?
Well, I have few. I can count on one hand, actually. But I do try and talk to them as often as I can. However, you know, I also believe if it's actual, like, love as far as, like, family and things like that, you know, there it's something that they're not used to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the more time that I spend around them, and this is even friends who have known me, you know, prior to me transitioning and being so used to me, you know, the more you're around them, you know, the easier it might be for them to, you know, get it through and, you know, be accepting.
Mm-hmm. When you came out as being gay, was your family more accepting of that? Or do you feel like it started when you were, when you said, I'm bisexual, or when you came out that you were gay?
Well, when I came out as gay, I feel like that was better, you know, because I, as far as better, I mean a better reaction.
Mm-hmm, right.
I'm going to put it like that. and that's only because, you know, me putting myself in their, you know, say mentality for a bit, it's not me necessarily wanting or desiring to be, like, the opposite sex. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's more so me just liking the same sex and still, you know, being or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of them don't acknowledge my transness.
Right. And I feel like that's not just your family, but I feel like as we're seeing with everything in the world that's going on right now, like,
mm-hmm.
it's nobody, not, I wouldn't say nobody, but majority of people don't understand what it is for someone to be transgender. And I feel like it's new to a lot, especially in Kansas, like it's new to people,
mm-hmm.
but you've heard it before, but I feel like it's, like you said, the reaction is better when it's just you're gay, but then you add these extra layers on there and then it kind of gets lost and it's too much for some people.
Oh yeah.
And how do you feel or towards that? Because like there's so many, like how do you feel for your safety too at that? Like, just have you had to endure situations because you're a transgender woman?
Oh yeah. There have been some interesting situations, especially being a trans woman in the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's a lot of Trump people, you know, here. Not only do I endure it sometimes on social media, don't get me wrong, it's sometimes rare on social media just because mm-hmm. of, I'm not going to lie, how I look, but in person, as far as like it, you know, as far as like dating as well, you know what I'm saying? Like, just in, like, I'm trying to make this as PG-13 as possible.
You're good. We could talk about dating, but yeah, I'm
just
true.
Like the dating scene.
Uh-huh.
Let me say it like that, because that could be, that's a whole umbrella of things, because
mm-hmm.
that could even be like people that you interact with and meet just in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could go either way. You know, you could just be friends with them or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So even that's difficult, because I've had situations where I've, you know, dealt with guys and say they, because I make it very clear before I go in, you know, that I'm trans, you know what I'm saying? And some of them have played like I haven't and
oh.
have done and said vile things.
Wow.
There was an instance where one person sent me the photo of a mutilated corpse of,
oh my gosh,
one of us, and in a tub, and like just told me some really messed up things just because, you know, I was pretty, and he, you know, didn't come to terms with things with himself. You know what I mean? And it.
But you yeah. do disclose, like, I am a transgender woman,
yeah.
and like
yeah.
I've seen like stuff on the opposite end of that, of just like people not relaying that message because of their safety. Like.
No. Yeah.
At the same time, so like some
yeah.
people do it, say it, like I am a transgender woman because of my safety. Some people wait to disclose that because of the safety. So
yeah, no, don't get me wrong. It's a gamble. You know what I'm saying? Like when you do say it, you know what I mean. You risk, you know, are they going to be open? Are they going to be accepting? Are they going to understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus like if you don't. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It is also a risk, you know, and most people only see that one just because, you know, they're not necessarily, you know, putting themselves, you know, in that, you know, that part, you know, where a lot of the guys, they might have something with them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you don't know, and you gotta bolt,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is would be a scary feeling to endure that situation. So you only date men?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So, okay. When you, like, besides those interactions, have you had any good interactions? Like,
oh yeah, I've had some good interactions.
Yeah.
I've had somebody propose to me, kind of, and
oh. Do you have like creepers? Like
a lot of creepers.
Yeah.
But I try not to pay a lot of them any attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, I don't know. It's, and a lot of them are non-POC. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's.
Do you have like a community here of people of color that are also transgender that like you hang out with, or is it just pretty lonely out here for you?
It's pretty lonely out here for me.
Yeah.
Because there are not a lot of trans sisters, dolls, you know, that are melanated, you know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
a lot of it, and again, like with, like you mentioned with the perspective thing, you know, yes, all trans women can relate to an extent. However, there's a huge difference between being a black trans woman and being a trans woman who's non-POC, who's, you know, white. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And what, how have you felt like those differences have been for you? Like, how has it been hard for you to navigate in this world being a black trans woman?
Now, for me, for one, people expect us to be secrets. And people think that they can, you know, A, deal with us and not acknowledge it. You know what I mean? They kind of act like we're toys in a way. And a lot of people don't, like, especially just, this is all from my experience, like, they don't expect us to have, like, emotions, you know?
Yeah.
Like, with the things that happen, like, especially going from having one societal perspective to another one, you know what I'm saying? It's very, very, very different, you know? It's like, especially being black, you're still hated both ways, you know? But it's like you sold out in a way to them, you know what I mean, once you transition. Because it's seen as you don't want to be who you are, kind of thing, even though you're fully embracing who you are, you're just looking like it on the outside as well too.
Yeah. And when you talk about like you're being a black trans woman, how do you feel like the black people, the black culture accept you? And not only that, but just like the black people that aren't transgender as well. Like, I feel like there's a lot of different layers to it as to like.
Yes, there are. Now, I'm going to be honest. Our people are very harsh, especially when it comes to transness, you know. It's like kind of what I mentioned with family. This is where I got the most exposure of it. You know what I mean? Also online, you know, they are very critical of us and they're more critical of us. You know what I mean? And that's us as a whole, as trans people, not specifically trans women, you know?
Right.
And it's kind of hard. It's a blessing and a curse, and you're not really of use, or they don't really acknowledge you unless you're making them look good, whether that's style-wise or, you know, something that's benefiting them, you know?
Yeah.
That's one thing that I've noticed, and I've had lots of conversations and arguments and online spats with different women who, you know, have a sort of sense of entitlement, you know, just because they don't understand, you know, the transness, you know?
Yeah. And being that it is that way within the community, what do you feel like is a way that can make the culture better when it comes to having each other's back in our different layers that we have when we identify as black?
Honestly, first and foremost, stop using religion to do so, because a lot of it is Christian backed. And a lot of, you know, based off what I experienced, a lot of y'all can relate, a lot of it is Christian backed. And it's like, I don't understand, like, why you would go off of that when that's also a similar system of what kept us enslaved. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of ways that it's misconstrued, you know, and it's just not a valid argument in general. And we all just have to understand, like, we're already not necessarily respected or viewed as people in this society, even to this day. And we should just, with that understanding, not want to inflict it on, you know, everybody else. Because we all have a story, you know, not a lot of us have come from, you know, full homes, you know what I mean? A lot of us have absent fathers, you know what I'm saying, and things like that, and are not ideally perfect in the end like every other human, you know? So it's like, you should just stop being so critical of one another, because at the end of the day, society is more critical of all of us than anybody else, you know? So just give each other a break.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I'm still learning about, like, even different layers, like pansexual, gender fluidity, non-conformity. Like,
yes.
There's, like, so many layers when it comes to the queer community that I feel like this is what I'm doing this podcast for as well, just, like, to be informative with information and not just put up this wall. Just because we don't know what it is, we can learn and grow together. All right, so when it's the hormones, like, what's that process look like? Are you, like, going to the doctor? Like, can you go to the clinic, or what does that look like?
So typically, once you first start, it probably is a slightly different, you know, when you're transitioning, like, you know, you're a trans man or a trans woman, it might be different. But with me, you know, you call up, you know, you say, you know, what you need and things like that. I had a letter from my therapist, you know, letting them know, you know, I am able to think, you know what I mean? And I can, you know, and I'm sure, you know what I'm saying, things like that. And I had an appointment. Now, like I said, there was slightly a delay. That's just, you know, from the people who I was going through. You know what I mean?
Like your therapist or?
No, the people who I was going to get the hormones from.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was
okay.
Trying one and then that one didn't work and then going to another.
Okay. So that's your job to find that process or,
yes. Or
to who you're getting hormones from? It's not like actual doctor or?
Oh, it is a doctor.
So it's like you called the doctor and the doctor fell through and then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And your therapist or whoever writes your letter and things like that, they will oftentimes refer you to different ones.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And
get it. So you got the note from your therapist.
Yeah.
Then you go to the doctor that's referred or you find one yourself.
Yep, yep.
And then what's it like? Okay.
So in general, they are very, very expensive. That's with estrogen or testosterone or any of their following or any of the medicines that come with that you need to take either or in order for them to fully, you know, do what they do. So I had insurance and my insurance fully covered, you know, both because I had to take a testosterone blocker and, you know, the estrogen. Now, I did switch from a pill form to an injection form. I was on the pill form first at a lower dosage. And that was just,
is that
you
normal
know,
just to,
yep,
like...
Yep, that's normal to get your body used to it, you know, and I was on that for about 5 months.
Okay.
Then I switched over to the injection, but I actually, my insurance did not cover for the pill version.
Mm.
That was a little more, but it was still covered to a certain extent.
Okay.
And once I switched to the injection, it fully... Now, the injection is more expensive now. The injection fully was covered by insurance.
Okay.
And that's with the insurance that I had. And it was I had, like, Medicaid.
Okay.
Yep.
So, you went through this process all by yourself? Like, you knew, like, through you and your therapist? And
yep. I figured all that out. It was quite strenuous.
Yeah.
Let me just.
And so, like, for someone who has never done this before and is curious about going and mm-hmm. getting things changed and transitioning, what the first step is to do what?
But my biggest thing is you got to believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that might sound super duper cliche, but you have to do it before anybody else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to happen if you don't believe in yourself. And it's going to be a delayed process if you don't believe in yourself, because that motivation is going to lack.
Yeah. How did you know you were for sure that you wanted to make this transition? Because once you make this transition, you're committed. So how did you know, mm-hmm. I want to make this commitment and I want to transition?
Once again, like, kind of like I mentioned earlier, during that period of time where I was really taking the time to think about who I was and really, you know, made the decision. And then I thought about, you know, I did my research now. And I also just thought about, you know, what I wanted and what would make me happy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and ultimately how I would want, you know, how I want to look and, you know, what would ultimately help me feel seen in the world mostly.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that you've found that and you were able to figure that out at a young age, because, like, we see a lot of people waiting until later on, but you're 20 years old. So, like, you were able to figure that out. And what was the first or, like, the earliest memory that you have that you've seen another transgender woman that you were like, okay, maybe this is how I identify? Like, was there that aha moment for you?
I wouldn't necessarily say an aha moment, because I sort of, the way I came into myself, it was just a feeling, and I just knew. I was like, girl, you're a woman, you know. But, I had to make sure it was still on.
Oh, I sure hope so.
Yes. But, I had a cousin on my dad's side. Her name is Nadia, I'm pretty sure. I heard about her at a young age through, like, we had a photo album. Everybody has a family photo album. And I saw, and I, you know, I looked and I asked who she was, because she was very pretty. And, I asked, and then I had heard, you know, a little bit, you know, throughout the, because the family does talk. So I heard a little bit, and then it prompted me to ask later on. I was in late elementary school when I asked about her again, but this time I had asked my mom. Mm. And another auntie was in the room, my mom's older sister, and that, I got my ass tore up. I'm sorry. Sorry for my language, but I got my ass tore up for asking. And it was just the worst thing. So, like, after that, I was just like, I don't even want to touch, you know, the thought of trans, you know, the idea with a 90-foot pole, because this is what I associate with it. Every time I ask or something, it's... Yeah.
So. And you said you were at the end of elementary school, like, when you asked that?
Yeah, fourth, fifth grade, somewhere in there.
So that's, like, the first time you recall, like, okay, hearing transgender woman. And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it always, and anytime I had heard it after that, it always had something negative surrounding it, unfortunately.
What would you tell someone, like, you're still young, so, like, what would you tell someone's parent that may have a child that's gone through similar situations that, and their parents not really accepting?
Well, that's a great, I like that. It's loaded, but I like that. I would, first and foremost, I would say love them regardless, because you might feel like you have a choice, but you don't. It, you know, if you disown them for something like this, though you created them, it's going to eat away at you forever, you know, and you'll never forgive yourself. That's why I said what I said. And more than anything, nobody, you know them more than anybody else would, other than themselves. So, I'm trying to explain this as best as I can as well, you know. Like, you just, it should be one of those unthinkable things. Like, you should automatically want them to succeed. You should automatically want them to be happy, because when you're happy, you kind of live longer, you know, and you fulfill everything that you want to in your life, you know. And good things tend to come back to you, you know. So it's just like, just love them, because 9 times out of 10, they feel like they lack, just because, you know, what they're going through is very difficult. And it's very easy to feel unloved while you're going through it.
Yeah. And I met you through your drag mother, like, that's how we're connected. So
yes.
You found family that isn't blood to get you by. So is that how you're able to just, like, get through and continue to be yourself? It's just, like, finding those people that who understand you and accept you for who you are.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You're good.
But yeah, that's a very important thing, because when you're able to, you know, pick the people who you want in your life, you know, forever, and you know that they want to see you succeed, you know, there's little to no room for disappointment. So it makes that journey a lot easier, you know, especially when you're transitioning, you know, and you maybe, you have some missing pieces or missing, like, spaces in your life, you know, you can easily fill them, and it's with the people that you know that you need versus people who think that they know what you need.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I appreciate your vulnerability. Yeah. And like I said, it's a hard process out here to be a queer person of color. But as we know, and, like, there's statistics showing the experiences of Black trans women specifically, and just the hate that comes with it, the violence, and your safety that is concerning as well. It is very hard for you to navigate in this world, and I just want to acknowledge that, and I want the viewers to acknowledge, like, and understand the importance that we have to have in order to keep the safety of our transgender friends, family, acquaintances, strangers, whatever it may be, because it's there. I believe I read there was over 500 laws that have been put in place just this year regarding queer laws to just suppress transgender people even more than what it already has. And so having these conversations with you, I just, like, really appreciate you coming on here, being vulnerable, telling your story. And I hope people will hear this and get a better understanding of you as a person and your family, and they see this and look back, and hopefully they come to you and treat you differently, and maybe you guys can have that conversation of healing. It's a long road, and you're still on the journey, so.
Yes, and I appreciate you for giving me a platform to, A, tell my story, and B, to potentially even, like, you know, help somebody else who have a similar background as me, or who might be going through something similar in life, you know. It's not a lot of people will listen to, you know, us, and I haven't been in too many situations personally where people will just listen to me. So thank you for, you know, doing this and inviting me on here, you know, and opening it up, you know. And thank y'all for, you know, listening and watching, because it's very informative.
Yeah, it can be hard, like, coming out. And I feel like you've had to come out multiple times, like, come out as bisexual, you come out as gay, then you come out as a transgender woman. And that, like, there's so many layers in transitioning within yourself and the acceptance that you're trying to find within yourself, and then, like, the outside too. It's a lot to go through and process, especially if you have to go through it alone.
Indeed.
So with that, were you able to have, like, any resources to help you?
My therapist was my best friend.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating. I told her that every day.
Yeah.
And just my drag family. Like, some of them can relate, some of them can't, just because, you know, perspective.
Right.
But, you know, just having somebody to talk to, you know, about things.
Yeah.
But nobody fully gets it.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Definitely. Is there anything else that you would like to leave the audience with regarding anything? Your story, being a black trans woman, is there anything that you want to leave with them to think about, to go do their own research, anything?
Yeah. So, more than anything, I encourage y'all to just go out and be seen. Like, you don't have to hide. Like, some of the ugliest people in the world go out in public and they're fine, you know? So just go out and, like, live and be yourself, and don't be scared to tell your story, you know? Because nobody can take it away. And we're already, in general, you know, limited. So go and do it, and our time is limited too, so do it before your time runs out. And I also want to say, I am going to be talking about all of that experience, all the transness, and even some of the crazy stories in an album that I'm working on right now.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice. You're a singer?
I'm a rapper.
Oh, wait. You're a rapper?
I am a rapper.
Okay. Do you have, like, music out right now people can go listen to?
No. I was on a bit of a hiatus to focus on my transition. No.
Okay.
But I reinvented myself, and I have been really working to put something together to give the world, really, a different perspective on transness,
mm-hmm.
and to get rid of that stigma that's connected to it, and put the stories out there that aren't heard, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Is there any other shout outs that you would like to give, like your socials? Is there anything, shows you got coming up that people need to come check you out?
Well, I will shout out my socials now. As far as my shows, they vary. But
they're all on your socials, right? You put all your shows on your socials?
Yep, I promote them heavily on my social medias. That's Facebook at Sarai Lauren Ali, and that's SYRAI, okay? And then Instagram, I am at @IAM_Sarai.Yamaya, YAMAYA, and that's all lowercase.
All those will be in the description below. You can just copy and paste that information into your search bar and follow
them
waiting. On everything. Alrighty, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode on Queen Talk. Please make sure you like, subscribe, go follow them on all their social medias. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please comment below and let everybody else know. But yeah, family, friends, strangers, love, be nice. All right.
Work.
How was it?
That was cute.
Yeah.
I like that.